At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome in to Players Only.
Hit somebody in the mouth!
Brought to you by Flight, by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. Here's Chiefs ambassador and Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes.
Chiefs Kingdom, what's good? It's good to be back on the airwaves. This is Danan Hughes, and you are tuned in to Players Only each and every week. I should say, as we get towards the end of this season, it might be a little spotty with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's coming up, but we are here right now to reflect on this Chiefs season. The phone lines, the text lines are open, 913-586-7965. This Chiefs team, I just want to tell you, Chiefs Kingdom, Chiefs fans, that energy that you just got for the last 40 seconds plus has been manufactured. I'm feeling a certain sort of way, and I feel like the Chiefs Kingdom is feeling a certain sort of way right now, and justifiably so. We are in uncharted territory right now at 5-5, and where this team is, losing the last two straight games, basically being in must-win situations after situation after situation after situation for these last seven games. This is uncharted territory for us. We have become spoiled in a good way, not a bad way, not like your kids around Christmas time, but in a good way in regards to we have seen sustained and consistent successes for, gosh, the last 8 years, the last 7 years specifically in regards to Patrick Mahomes being at the helm and what we've been able to accomplish. Normally during this time of the year, we're talking about seeding and how can we stay ahead or jump in front of the Buffalo Bills or the Ravens, or even earlier back in the day when Tom Brady was the quarterback and we were talking about seeding in regards to the New England Patriots. We have been spoiled all this time, and that's not a bad thing. But that has led us to this position right now in 2025, late November, of looking at our 5-5 season and wondering, how in the world did we get to this point? And how do we muster up enough gumption, enough energy, enough fight, enough resilience to battle through these last seven games and basically come to a position of winning six of the seven, at worst, winning five of the seven? Can't go any less than that. And if you go 5-7, that means you're losing two games and you have to actually pinpoint specific games that you have to lose if you're at 6-1 or 5-2. Uncharted territory, nonetheless, and it has been tough. Tough, especially coming off this last week. If you're just tuning in to Players Only for the first time, we break down this hour-long radio show and into quarters. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. This first quarter is always designated to the previous game, win or loss, where we are, what happened, what can we do better, how do we reflect on that game, what do we take away, et cetera, et cetera. We lost to the Donkeys. I can't give them much respect, much more respect than they beat us on their field in their way, and we did not do anything to change that. And that's tough to digest from a former player playing 6 years, playing against the Broncos 13 times. I played against them twice every year for my six-year career and once in the playoffs. They got the best of us more times than we got the best of them, but this was different. I feel like this loss, contrary to the Monday night loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars, contrary to the revenge game against the Eagles early in the season, contrary to the loss to the Chargers in Brazil, definitely contrary to the loss to Buffalo the previous week, in that, or 2 weeks prior to that before the bye, in that this game I felt was definitely winnable, and it would have went far, it would have far surpassed just the win and loss standings circumstance. I thought it would have done a lot to reveal the confidence, to reveal the strength of this team, to reveal to the rest of the NFL, not just the AFC, but to the NFL, that we are a team to still be reckoned with, that we are a team that is not going to go and sit aside lightly and allow somebody to take a stranglehold of the AFC West division. We have been the kings of the AFC West for 9 straight seasons. And you mix in all the appearances in the AFC Championship and then ultimately the Super Bowls and the Super Bowl championships that have come from that, we have had a stranglehold on the AFC West to the point that teams were drafting specifically to try to beat us. They were acquiring talent through the free agency market and through the draft to specifically counter what we were putting on the field. I mean, that is a huge dynamic. If you're not aware of how the NFL works and the dynamics of the draft and free agency and players coming and going, that you can look back specifically at the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers and say they drafted that person, they went and got that guy out of free agency, and these players that they drafted specifically to try to counter what they couldn't accomplish against us as the Chiefs. That is huge for us in regards to being able to pat ourselves on the shoulders, but it seems like the time has arrived where we are now susceptible to what those guys have put forward. Like, we are now in a position where, okay, tip your cap, the Broncos, you got it done. Defensively, without your two best players, you were able to still keep us under 21 points and win a pivotal game. It is huge that we lost that game. It's unfortunate the way we lost that game. It is another example of a fifth loss on the season by one score, which is totally opposite to what we have become accustomed to seeing here in Kansas City, especially last year where we were 12-0, including the playoffs, in one-score games. That is basically the difference. And it is tough to digest. It's tough for me as a former Chief, and even more importantly, being in the broadcast booth, sitting next to Mitch Holthus on the sideline, Josh Klingler shooting up all the information and the energy and record-breaking dynamics in regards to Travis Kelce and scoring his 84th touchdown and all the magical things that happen that we are usually celebrating. But when the clock hits zero, we don't find ourselves in that position. I am very fortunate, being the color analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, that I get to go down to the locker room right after the game and interview the coach, Andy Reid, head coach Andy Reid, as well as a couple of players. And I want you guys to hear from Andy Reid right now and the just basically where his mindset is right after the game.
All right, here with head coach Andy Reid. Coach, another tough loss.
Yeah, I know it is. Listen, they did what they needed to do to win the game, and we got to just get rid of some mistakes there and penalties and so on. Take care of that. We had opportunity, 2-3 and outs. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that. So, you know, we learn from it and we move on. So that's what you do right now.
Yeah. You come off a bye week where there's a lot of self-scouting, self-evaluation. One dynamic that I noticed leading into the bye is some of the challenges around halftime. You've had those opportunities for the back-to-back, the duo possessions, and in the losses, it hasn't fared well. The wins have been the opposite direction.
Yeah, no, you're right there. I mean, there are a few things, and I take responsibility for it. I mean, when you have 2-3 and outs, an opportunity to put drives together and you're going backwards instead of forward, then that's not good enough.
You talk about not being a clean game, 10 penalties for both teams. I mean, how debilitating was that in regards to trying to get rhythm and momentum?
Sure. Yeah, it's where you have them. You know, that's what gets you. So you got to – we've got to take care of that. And that's something we can control. I mean, it's our responsibility to take care of that.
Unfamiliar territory, Coach, at 5-5. Where do you guys go from here?
You get ready for the Colts. Yep. And so you put all your effort into that.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right, Dan.
Let me just say that how much I appreciate, respect, and admire Andy Reid in regards to being a player in that locker room. The one thing that you did not want to have to deal with is the finger pointing to yourself. And to have a coach that is willing to stand in front of the microphone and wear situations and the negatives on his shoulders while pushing off the positives to everybody else is a gem. And as in Chiefs Kingdom, here as Chiefs fans, we should relish those opportunities. Having said that, I feel a certain way that he feels like he has to take all that weight on his shoulders. Like, from a player's perspective, you didn't run a route. You didn't block a pass rusher. You did not come up short in your pass rush. There's only but so much you can do as a coach. So although I admire it and definitely respect it, we're at a position now where some of the things cannot get glossed over. And it's not to throw shade on this team that's won 3 Super Bowls in recent memory and has had amazing history-making performances and memories that generations will talk about down the road. It's the fact that we're at 5-5 and we've lost 5 games of one-score games when we were 12-0 last year. And specifically, I want to point out the question that I presented to him about the duo situations of having the ball, the duo opportunities right before halftime and coming out of halftime. When we win the coin toss, and listen, this week against the Colts, if we win the coin toss, that means we are guaranteed by deferring at halftime that we will get the ball to start the third quarter. How things shake out through the first quarter, that opens up the door for us to have maybe the last possession under 2 minutes, drive the field, possibly put points on the board, and then have the momentum going into the locker room, and then the momentum coming out of the locker room, and the opportunity to basically put one nail in the coffin right then at the earliest point of the third quarter. When we've won games, Mitch Holthus did an outstanding job of breaking that down. If you did not listen to the broadcast of the last couple of games, he specifically pointed out when we won games, I think we scored 9 touchdowns, no turnovers, in those wraparound possessions. When we've lost games, it's been 0 touchdowns. We had an interception this past game against the Broncos. We had another interception previously, and then there were multiple three and outs. Three downs, punt the ball away. We can make a lot of noise about what happens in the last 2 minutes of the game and what the defense didn't accomplish against the Jacksonville Jaguars and what the offense didn't accomplish in multiple opportunities and what the defense couldn't do against the Denver Broncos in this last game. But pressing past that, it's really about those two possessions. And when you look back at the history of this team and last year specifically, in those 12 wins and one score games, what we did around halftime versus what we're doing around halftime now. I appreciate that Andy had pointed that out, but it is definitely a poignant, specific point that he made, that I made as well, in regards to why we are where we are versus where we're not and where we're expecting to be. I also got a chance to speak to Trey Smith, who was battling injury, battling a back injury that is hurting him, and some other injuries that you have, as you would expect in week 11 of the season. Let's hear from Trey Smith.
All right, thanks, guys. Here with Trey Smith. Another tough loss, Trey.
Yeah, man.
I mean, how tough is it when you had the success last year in close games, 12-0, when you include the postseason, and now 0-5 in those same type of games?
Obviously, it's frustrating. You want to execute at a higher level where you stay out of these types of situations, but there's a lot of parity in the NFL, and at the end of the day, you know, we have to execute at a higher level, minimize mistakes that we do. You know, there's a mantra from University of Tennessee, the team that makes a few mistakes will win, and we just got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot in certain situations, just be better.
You talk about shooting yourselves in the foot. There were 10 penalties accepted by each team in this game, so not the cleanest played game, but like, how debilitating is that when you guys have some opportunities and, you know, like you said, you get shooting yourself in the foot?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I don't know what the percentage is, but when you have a penalty on a drive, the net result of having a touchdown or points probably diminishes quite a bit. So just trying to figure out a way for us to just play cleaner football, you know, and just keep getting better.
Yeah, and where do you guys go from here?
Just go back to work, man. I'll tell you one day, one play at a time. That's all we know how to do.
All right, thank you.
A man of not very many words, but I will give him credit, man. There are certain guys in that locker room that no matter what happens during the game, there are some guys that you just don't approach for post-game interviews. Trey Smith is a true pro, and I appreciate him anytime he gives me any time, any minutes of his time in post-game. He is battling. Trust me when I tell you, he is battling through some stuff physically, and yet he takes time to give us some nuggets. All right, when we come back, we got the hot fire, spitfire takes. There's been several this weekend that's happened. We're going to tackle them next.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes. Brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer. American Eats. Big Patio. On your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Because I spit hot fire.
Y'all call me super hot boy. 100 degrees leather jacket. Because I'm super hot, boy. Oh!
And we are back, Players Only, second quarter of the show. I'm your host, Danan Hughes. Phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. As you can tell from that open, this is the hot fire, spit fire take session or segment of the show, the second quarter of the show each and every week. Brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee Summit and Merriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Also remember, 30 Hop, great wings. Team Boneless here. Julio, don't judge me. Sunday ticket, they got it. Make sure you can make your way there. Excellent experience, food, and atmosphere. My hot fire, spitfire takes, I got multiple. I don't know what it is about the name Jalen and spitting, but this year you had Jalen Carter. He was exited for the first game of the season I don't even know if I want to call it suspended because the game actually started. I don't know how you can be suspended for a game that actually starts. But he was exited for that game for spitting on Dak Prescott. And then we had a recent situation of Ja'Marr Chase spitting on Jalen Ramsey. I don't know how a person, I've been in the most heated situations on a football field. I've punched people, poked people, grabbed face masks. I've fought every single game of my career. Not the cleanest player, a dirty player in some people's eyes. I'll take that. Never in my mind, never in the most heated circumstance on or off the field had I ever thought that I would be spitting, that spitting at somebody or spitting on somebody was the recourse that I would take. Even if it was somebody that outweighed me by 50 or 100 pounds and I was face to face with, never did I think I'm going to spit in this guy's face. And that was the recourse that I was taking because of some issue or altercation that we had on the field. I don't understand it. I feel like he got off light. I feel like Jalen Carter got off light. Being exited of a game that you started just because a play hadn't happened yet, and now Ja'Marr Chase just being suspended for one game, totally light. NFL, if you're trying to dissuade the most disgusting, the most degrading action that a person can have against anybody else, suspend for multiple games. And to go on the microphone, especially using this circumstance as the most egregious that you could see, where he not only did it, but then lied on air after the game, to me, that adds multiple games. So you, if you want to really dissuade the most disgusting and degrading action, add multiple games so that not only do you get penalized for doing it, you get penalized for not being a man and standing in front and having humility and recognizing you did something that was the most disgusting thing you can do on the field. Julio, hold up on your judge because I got more. Here we are. That, I think, would garner, if I know Julio like I've known him for the last 7+ years, I know what he's going to grade on that, but I got more to add. Phone lines, text lines are still open, 913-586-7965. We are in a predicament, Julio. 5-5, and Chris Jones came out on the microphone and talked about predictability on the defense. I got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Chris Jones. I don't have a problem with the fact that he has led us to 3 Super Bowl wins. I've gotten jewelry because of number 95. He will be on the Ring of Honor, and I will be there to celebrate him. He will be wearing a gold jacket, likely, and I will be clapping for him then. But I cannot stomach, in times where things are not going right, where players start to choose to either defend their deficiencies or point out things that they did not point out when things were going right. Last year, we were 12-0 in one-score games. Did not hear anything about predictability. Now we are 0-5, and we're hearing from the leader, the minister of this defense, I think it's the minister or the leader of Sac Nation, that predictability and what the offense knew to be happening. Here's my take on that. When Chris Jones lines up on the interior, Julio, you don't have to answer that. What do you think he's doing? Rushing the quarterback. There are times in the game where he flips out to the outside and wants to go one-on-one against the defensive end, usually the right offensive tackle, and he's at the left defensive end. Do you know what he's doing there? Rushing the quarterback. Is that not predictable? That is predictable. When Charles Omenihu is on the upside, you don't see him dropping in coverage and covering a tight end. He's rushing the quarterback. So there is an element of predictability that happens on every single play. And yet you still get the work done. He's made magical plays. Sacks on Joe Burrow to end games in the playoffs. Sacks on Josh Allen. Hits on Josh Allen between he and George Karlaftis that everybody knew what was happening in the game, including the opposing offense. And it wasn't an issue about, quote, air quotes here, predictability. So when things are going wrong and you're starting to search and you have a fan base that's searching about why are we not where we're supposed to be? Why are we not in positions that we've been accustomed to being? How are we sitting at 5-5? I don't want to hear about having to disguise better. We didn't have to disguise better when we were 12-0 last year. And when we were 8-5 the year before, and we were 9-1 in close games. We have not, since Patrick Mahomes has been at the quarterback position, whether he's played in games or he was injured, we have not been less than 50% or 500 on close games since 2018. I don't want to hear that noise right now. So I feel like this is a perfect opportunity. We're at home. We've played our best football at home. And now we got to correct the ship. We got to get in the back into the right mindset. And I feel like the first place to do that is erasing any of this idea of scheming better, disguising better. We have to execute better. And more importantly, we have to have better effort. I always said a team, and we know this for sure now with the tush push and quarterback sneaks and so on, teams can know what you're going to do. If you execute, they have no recourse but to line back up and be at 1st and 10, or you get a touchdown. This is where we are right now, and I don't want to hear any of that extra noise about being predictable and all that stuff. Line up, do your job, and get the job done the way it's supposed to be. I'm fired up in here. Got me fired up. It's right before halftime. Cody and Gold, I was on earlier this morning. They got me fired up. I had to bring some of that energy right now. I just, as a fan, as a former player, I just can never get behind any player talking about coaching, predictability, etc. We got a job to do. You got to get the job done. Remember, the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. When we come back after halftime, we're going to tackle Brandon, Dan from KC, and several of these text messages.
You're listening to Players Only with Dane and Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. And by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer. American Eats. Big Patio. On your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
Time's yours.
All right, welcome back. Players Only, third quarter of the show. I'm your host, Danan Hughes. You can find me on Twitter, AKA X at DAHughesGuy83. Also on Instagram at Danan Hughes. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. We got Dan from KCK. What's good, Dan?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Yeah, it was a little disappointing at the of the game. And, you know, the special teams, you know, they throw pride in the special teams. They were really sloppy, so they got improved on that. And you're right, the defense has got to pick it up. Chris Jones, I mean, you, yeah, Karlaftis. And there's no excuse, Dan, for Jalen Watson to get confused on the last play on third down. Then he gets beat by the man, by his wide receiver. So, you know, things will get better. Let's go with 12-5. And I heard on Good Morning Football, Dan, that they want the Chiefs to make the playoffs so the Ravens or Bills could beat them. But be careful what you wish for. Good Morning Football. If the Chiefs do get in, they'll wipe everybody out. Let's take care of business. Take care, Dan.
Appreciate you, Dan. Thank you. Thank you for that infusion of energy. I will say this. Jalen Watson was definitely accurate on the false start by the wide receiver on that play. He was moving forward. It wasn't an opportunity to where people may think, okay, he can reset. He had obvious motion as towards the line of scrimmage, not like he was moving sideways in a shift or a motion situation. So he was well within his rights to point that out. Should not have gotten it out of position based on the snap, but the officials missed that call. Wasn't a product of us losing the game, but it definitely was an accurate situation. And also from this Chiefs team where we are right now, we just got to be better. We just got to be better football players and give more effort. I feel like the Denver Broncos, when you watched Nick Benito, if you go back and watch that film, you watch Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito, how they run around. They run around and Hufanga at that safety position. They run around like their hair is on fire. They play every down to the echo of the whistle. And I feel like that's something that we need to adopt a little bit more. Who knows how far the Denver Broncos will go, but I think when you watch their defense specifically and the effort, whether the execution is right, they had their two best players off of their defense. I don't know if we would be able to perform against our offense if we had our two best defenders off the field and then put forth a winning performance and hold an offense with this the potent arsenal that we have down under 21 points. I don't think that would happen, and they were able to accomplish that. Tough for me to give them credit, but I got to give credit where it's due. All right, Brandon from Shawnee, what's good?
Hey, Danny. Hey, real quick, man. I just want to I got two things. One of them involves a local high school. I'll be real quick with it. Starting Mission Northwest, my nephew plays there. And, dude, they have a QB. His name's Trey Woodruff. He finished the season with this 2,021 rushing yards, 39 mm-hmm. touchdowns, 10.3 yards per carry. I don't think he's getting any D1 offers right now just because of his size. I think he's similar to Matt Nagy's son, who started as a freshman this year as a kickoff returner at KU. Anyway, just wanted that's phenomenal what he's done, right? Just wanted to share that. Second, this is a hot take. I am driving right now. Don't turn my phone number into the feds. I'm not under the influence. I'm only sharing this. I've heard other people kind of mention this. The idea that maybe Andy, I don't want to say is washed, but it's almost like the rest of the league has caught up to him. It has figured him out. Is it time to, I don't know what the solution is. I don't want to say move on from him, but is it time to start thinking about that next move? And what would you think about if it were, what would you think about Lane Kiffin making the jump to the NFL? And that's what I have. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Brandon. Definitely stay safe on the road. Those stats for that QB are incredible. I can say this, there's no rhyme or reason, there's no recipe for D1 accessibility and recruiting. For me, I can tell you, I was a quarterback and safety in high school, had not played wide receiver in my life, and I fit the measurables that teams gave me an opportunity or colleges gave me an opportunity, and I was able to transition. I've seen, being around here in Kansas City, have seen a lot of special athletes, a lot of players that I thought were worthy of playing an opportunity at the next level that did not get the chance on the baseball field as well as the football field. I don't know. I don't know how coaches, what their rhyme or reason is in regards to recruiting. I think there are football players out there and there are guys that play football. And it sounds like the guy that you mentioned is a football player, so I'm sure he will find himself in a great situation. We'll just keep our prayers up for that, because being that kind of guy that produces, especially in this hotbed of football here in Kansas City metro area, he deserves a shot. From in regards to your perspective about Andy Reid, I am, at least at this point and for the foreseeable future, will be a guy that says, in Andy we trust. He has not garnered any kind of willingness for me to slander his name or slander his abilities at this point. I've been in that locker room. I've been on the field. I've been a player on that field. And there's only but so much a coach can do. And the majority of it is on the players to go out and execute. And most of the time, it's not about the play call. It's about the effort during the play. And I'm not saying that we're not giving effort, because the other team, guess what? They get paid too. And if they give effort or if they find themselves in the right position, I'll give you a perfect example. Mitchell Schwartz, who I admire and respect as an offensive lineman, a former offensive lineman, as much as any other guy that I've played with or not played with, and I didn't play with him, he broke down the first play of the game where it was an RPO and we threw the ball on a swing pass to Rashee Rice, and he got 11 yards. And he broke down how if we would have just handed the ball off to Kareem Hunt, how we might have gotten 5 or 6 yards, maybe more, but how that impacted the rest of the game from a physicality standpoint and from an attitude standpoint and from an attaboy standpoint to the offensive line, et cetera. That's not going to show up in play calling. That's just showing up in execution and decisions. So I don't want to get into a position of, okay, Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, they need one of them, or Andy Reid needs to be stripped of any kind of responsibilities offensively, or we need to be looking elsewhere. The players need to execute. The players have they are not unprepared. They need to execute, and we need to do better. All right, Big T and Shawnee, what's good?
Yeah, hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. First of all, man, I'm in a really bad mood. This losing streak has left a bad taste in my mouth. First of all, I want to tip my cap to Dave Tobe for dressing down that idiot president about the kickoff rule. Good job by him. Style of our sports. And then I want to talk about Will Compton, Dana. That idiot, loudmouth, has declared that the Colts are going to destroy our Kansas City Chiefs. What has that punk ass ever won or done anything? He's never been to no Super Bowl, never won no Super Bowl. He's a journeyman loudmouth loser, and he's a chump. He needs to run along. The Chiefs, he's making a statement like that. You played for the Las Vegas Turd Raiders. Enough said about him. Now I want to talk about Travis Kelce. There's a lot of chatter with him not talking, not addressing the media. He don't owe us nothing. He don't owe nobody nothing. That badass mofo, I've heard it from the fans here. I've heard it from the national media, the local media, even some people down at this radio station. He don't want to talk. He don't have to talk. That badass mofo, it does his play action on the field, does his talking for him. His play on the field does the talking for him. What I want to call out is the offensive line. Enough of the penalties. Get your mind straight. A lot of you got some big old contracts out there. Get it together. I'm confident Pat will, but also I'm calling out Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Do something. We love you, man. We need you, kids, but make a play. And you know, Dana, I'm old enough to remember that Lynn Elliott game against the Colts, and boy, that's why my blood's boiling. Oh. I hate the Colts. I loathe the Colts. I want the Chiefs to kick their teeth in and beat their punk asses and send them to the glue factory. As always, let's go Chiefs.
Man, I appreciate that, Big T. If you can't tell from my voice the passion in it, you definitely can tell from Big T right there. He was going on. I'm sure he could have went on for another 4 or 5 minutes on what he wants, what he expects, some of the complaints that he has. I will agree on one point, and maybe we'll tackle a couple others after this break. The players don't owe, I feel like there's a conflict in regards to what players owe and what players should do and what players should have the arbitrary thoughts of whether they want to do or not. I go in that locker room. There are guys that tell me they don't want me to interview them. There are guys that tell me that they do. Some guys tell me they don't want to be interviewed even when they win. And I'm cool with that. So I think as a fan base, we have to kind of mitigate what we expect from players, recognizing that they're human, that it's 5 minutes after they took a debilitating loss against an AFC West rival. We got to give a little grace. When we come back, we got the fourth quarter of the show. We'll talk about this upcoming opponent, the Indianapolis Colts. They've been a thorn in our flesh for so many years, going back to 1995. We'll talk about it then.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight, by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Players Only in the building, brought to you by Flight, by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and 30 Hop and Lee Summit at Merriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. I am your host, Danan Hughes. You can follow me on Instagram at Danan Hughes and X, formerly known as Twitter, DAHughesGuy83. I love the spirit and energy of the hot fire. I mean, I'm sorry, the phone lines, text lines being open. We still got the text lines open from the 515 talking about the Raiders. Let's go. Sub-Zero or Scorpion from the 816. Not sure about that. They've been listening from the 816 since I was on Gold, Cody and Gold earlier. They got me riled up. It was before I had lunch, Julio. I was kind of settled in my car, just about to go in and do some coaches' interviews. Had some work to do at Community America Credit Union, and I was juggling stuff, and they got me riled up. So I give them props. It's time, though. It's that window of time where we all need to be riled up. Speaking of where we are right now, before we get into this Indianapolis Colts matchup, we got to recognize something about where we are this season at 5-5, and more importantly, where other teams are. I said it during Cody and Gold earlier. We're in a situation with 7 games left where 6-1 will get us in the playoffs. 5-2 for the rest of the games can possibly do so as well. We have to hope for other teams to do their work. And what I mean by that is outside of this week, we would prefer, and this is just my opinion, I'm not matching numbers, I'm not doing the metrics and all that, but in this circumstance where we are right now, this weekend we beat the Indianapolis Colts, the Colts need to win out the rest of the time. When we get ultimately to Christmas Day, we would like for, and this is tough for me to say, we would have liked for the Denver Broncos to win every game up until Christmas Day, and we beat them on Christmas Day, and then they win the rest. And then you look at what's happening with the AFC East. If there's going to be that tug of war and back and forth between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots, one of them set the stage as far as winning. I would say it would be great for the Buffalo Bills to win that out because we had not played the New England Patriots, so there's no tiebreaker issue there. So as it stands now, we have to handle our business. If we handle our business, this is what I'm saying, is that all those teams need to just go ahead and win out. And if we have to be 6-1, let that one, and this is really tough for me to say because I have some very, 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 very obnoxious Dallas Cowboy fans as family members. And I will likely never live it down that if the Dallas Cowboys beat us on Thanksgiving Day, but if we had to win or lose one game and still make the playoffs, pains me to say that that would be the game because it's an NFC opponent. Having said that, it would be great to go 7-0 and be the most dangerous team in the playoffs like we've been in the past, and I'm all for that. I'm just giving you all the scenarios and where we stand now. Now, the Indianapolis Colts and where they are and what we have to deal with this team. Shane Steichen has done an outstanding job as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Danny Dimes, Indiana Jones, whatever you want to call him, has done an amazing job in a situation where coming into the season, there was a question mark as to whether he was going to be the quarterback. There was a quarterback controversy, and he is taking it over and taking a stranglehold on that position, leading that team to an 8-2 record. They are the only team in the NFL that has caused at least one turnover in every game. Now, coincidentally, the two games that they lost, or I should say conversely, the two games that they lost, they actually gave the ball up 3 times in that game. So even though they were able to take the ball away, they gave the ball up and gave the opportunity. So if you're talking about the keys to winning, we have to cause some turnovers. We have to be complete offense, defense, special teams. Take the ball away from Danny Dimes, stop the run with Jonathan Taylor, and impose our will like we've done at home at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on multiple occasions this season. Playoffs start this Sunday. The earliest that we've spoken about that in basically the large part of Patrick Mahomes' era. But here, this is where we are right now, and we got to make the magic happen. All right, for Julio, I am Danen Hughes. We won't be here next week. Have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. We will come back after Thanksgiving the following Thursday in hopes that we are 2-0 leading into an amazing run towards another postseason bid. With that, I am out. I'm hopeful. Chiefs Kingdom, step up this week. Peace.
You're listening to Players Only with Dana Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.